you're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and jumping into this episode, we're going to be talking about some stuff of nostalgia. What are you talking about nostalgia for? Well, we're going to be discussing the importance of preserving history and history of things such as video games or movies or content in that nature. So I, funny enough, saw an article on Twitter about preserving geek history in a sense. And it kind of struck me because we, as a society, are moving into the digital streaming age, digital downloads, digital everything. So physical content doesn't really hold a candle anymore, which is kind of surprising. I mean, I kind of expected it, but at the same time, not so much. But anyways, they had this discussion going. CNET posted something, and then on Twitter, Android Sophia was kind of talking about staggering how much of video game history is not preserved. Putting it into numbers, there are 721 North American SNES games, and before the Wii store shut down, only a meager 74 titles were preserved on Virtual Console. That number is now 51 on the Wii U. And she says, for anyone keeping track, that's roughly 10% of the entire SNES library preserved at its prime. And then examples of games that that were never re-released on the SNES were like Illusions of Gaia, Goof Troop, Top Gear 3000, Tiny Toon Adventure, Buster Bust Loose, Metal Combat, Falcon's Revenge. And then basically saying that the point is that there are some amazing titles out there that are not legally preserved in any means, and the only reason we have preservation of them is thanks to pirates and EMU devs. And it's really sad. And this is coming after light of Nintendo kind of cracking down on emulator people, like people that had these emulator websites where you could download retro games. And what essentially transpired is that Nintendo began cracking down on retro game downloads, seeking $150,000 on a variety of different sites. I don't understand why they want to completely erase them. Like, I get it if they were selling this stuff, and I get it that it's technically not legal because they're emulated. But at the same time, if they're going to do absolutely nothing with them and people cannot buy them, not that people won't, because people love nostalgia and love playing old games, I just don't understand it. I understand that it's their property, but at the same time, I don't understand why they haven't done anything else with it. So on one website, Motherboard, they said Nintendo's offensive, tragic, and totally legal erasure of ROM sites. This is the damage that removing ROMs from the internet could do to video games as a whole is catastrophic. And as somebody who used to own a emulator website back in the early 2000s, I didn't really have them up for others, per se. It was more so for fun and the fact that I had my own emulator site and I didn't have to have them on my computer. They were housed on the internet. So if I was somewhere else, I could download them or whatnot. It was more so for that. It was like my own personal Google Drive with a cool website that went with it. Which cool website at the time is not cool. I developed it in Microsoft Front Page. But it was, you know, I kind of got exposed to it in the late 90s, early 2000s. And I somewhere still have a CD with some of them on it. I had the Emulation Archive, which was started from my Dragon Ball Z website. Majin Phillips and Bibby Kilburn, or Majin Vegeta and Bebe Gogeta's Dragon Ball ZGT website. Very long name. I later changed it to the Cyber Dragon Ball, which, again, was going to be a podcast, and that got blown out of the water. But it was a sidestep website from that, and the Emulation Archive was essentially all my favorite SNES, Sega, Game Boy, and a couple of other games, I think. I had, like, Mega Man X, all the Mega Man X games up to, like, X4, because I couldn't get anything PlayStation and above, or PlayStation 2. So, but anyways, kind of getting back to this, it says in July, Nintendo sued two popular ROM sites, Love ROMs and LoveRetro.co, which tells you how long I've been out of the game, because I've never heard it either, for what it called brazen and mass scale infringement of Nintendo's intellectual property rights. Both sites have been shut down. Another big 18-year-old ROM site, MU Paradise, which that one I know. That's where I got majority of my stuff back in the day. Said it would no longer be able to allow people to download old games due to potentially disastrous consequences. Even though Nintendo has every right to enforce its copyrights, some of the people say that it's sad to see the company go after ROM sites for the acronym for read-only memory, which hobbyists dump from the original cartridges onto computers to create ROM images, digital copies, in other words. And it's kind of sad that they did this. It says some of them are sent directly to their hosts initially to get them shut down. Same time, like, I kind of think it's crap that Nintendo's even doing this. And like I said, I get that they own the intellectual property for the games when people pirate them instead of buying them. Especially when it comes to games on like a Nintendo Super NES Classic Edition, or you know, downloading a copy from one of its digital storefronts, you know, then they're actually losing money. But they're essentially saying that it's going to have potential to significantly damage tens of thousands of jobs when they aren't for sale. So there's really no way that it's damaging, unless it's something that's currently being sold. I don't get that. I'm not sure what you guys think on it, but I think it's kind of crap. Like, if Nintendo's not going to publish them, it's kind of crap. So, it kind of just throws me for a loop that this is the world we live in. This is most of what MU Paradise was hosting was work by companies that are now defunct and which have little or no chance of being legally sold. And that's kind of where I think we stand with this, is that you can't play any of these anymore. Which, if Nintendo was smart, they would kind of get them back as like some kind of a legal way of playing it. For instance, like they say, there's a company called Retrocade, which has a device which legally licensed and resold games from developers like Capcom using emulation software, RetroArch, designed to run illegal ROMs. Many of the official re-released Lucasfilm point-and-click adventure games and ran on the Scum engine now use the fan-made free Scum VM engine, and so on. I don't know. I think this is just kind of a crapshoot that Nintendo's just like, oh, how can we get free money? It's because, again, I don't see the terrible difficulty in doing this if you're not selling the product that people want. It's like when you record those movies off of, like, back in the day when you could record the movies off of, like, Family Channel. And there was no way ever of getting these DVDs because they never went to DVD. They always were just a special that played once a year. And that was the only way you could see it. So, like, there was one year my wife had told me about a movie called Christmas Every Day. And it's your typical Groundhog Day, but with Christmas. And it was one of the first ones that kind of were out in the 90s. Where it looked, you know, low budget, looked Family Channel budget. But it was entertaining, and at the same time, like, you couldn't get it. And so I ended up having to search the internet, and somebody had it recorded off of the channel and burned to DVD, and I was able to purchase it that way for I think it was like $8 or something, plus shipping. And it was worth it because, again, you couldn't find it. But I still would pay for it because I couldn't find it. And it's like a lot of old TV shows that are out. You know, ones that aren't on Netflix or Hulu or any of these other streaming services. And you can't watch any of their backlogs of some of these shows or old shows in general or purchase them. And so, like, in that instance, those people that have them, granted, they're not legal to be selling them in the first place, but at the same time, how are you supposed to get them? Like, that's kind of the conundrum I see this as. If they're that worried about losing money, why not republish the game digitally or republish the show or the movie digitally? Like, I just don't see the logic in their whole attack. So it says that, and continuing on this, you know, Nintendo crackdown on the BBC site, they even have a different kind of perspective that, you know, the Emmy Paradise, which was doing this, had voluntarily shut down following the legal action by Nintendo against two similar online portals. Because Nintendo is seeking $150,000 for each Nintendo game offered and up to $2 million for each trademark infringement. And so that they could not risk potentially disastrous consequences, so they shut down. It says that they run Emmy Paradise for the love of retro games and for you to be able to revisit those good times. Unfortunately, it's not possible right now to do so in a way that makes everyone happy and keeps us out of trouble, wrote their founder. And so, yeah, it's... Again, it says both sites are now closed, but offered games originally designed for a number of classic consoles, including those by Sega, Sony, and Atari, which were not going after them. It's unfortunate, but I have a feeling you're going to see a lot more of these things start popping up on torrents, just because people are trying to obtain these ROMs in order to play the retro games, and... You know, with them being decades old, obsolete hardware, obsolete software, and no way of getting them. I mean, you're going to see a lot of that start popping up, and probably a lot of people get sued for it on top of it, just like movies and television shows. So I don't know what you guys think on this. Like, it's kind of a slippery slope of this whole system playing out the way it is at the moment, and I'm not quite sure what to think about it, but I think that it could have kind of disastrous elements to it down the pipeline. And what I mean by disastrous is the fact that you could end up with all kinds of crazy tyrannical decisions on old things being online. Oh no, they have an old publicity shot. Oh no, they didn't pay royalty for that. Oh no, there's a commercial from an old Toys R Us ad, or, you know, it just, I don't know, things could kind of get weird. Granted, these are full versions of games, so, you know. But the other option too that you can do, if you happen to have something like this in your area, which most places don't, nowadays, I'm fortunate I have this place called Disc Replay, or, you know, if you have a GameStop, but GameStop really doesn't collect a lot of the old cartridge-based games. So if you're looking for, like your Atari, your Sega Genesis, your Sega, your Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Game Gear, Game Boy, Game Boy Advance, Game Boy Color, all those cartridge-based games, really your only option is like eBay, or knowing somebody that has them still, or something like a Disc Replay. And Disc Replay, for those that are not aware of them, they're kind of based around in different areas, and they have like the mother load of like movies. They sell electronics, they sell they kind of have, you know, not only the game consoles of like every game console known to man, movies and TV series, they sell, you know, used tablets, Apple products, whether it's computer, tablets, phones, iPods, they sell laptops, fitness trackers, smartwatches, streaming devices, cameras, GoPros, Amazon Echoes, water cameras, graphing calculators, gaming mice, keyboards, microphones, speakers, Bluetooth speakers, car speakers, sound bars, 1080p and 4K HD TVs, flat screen monitors. As a matter of fact, I traded in the majority of my DVD collection and got a 27-inch Asus flat screen monitor, and it's awesome. It's much better quality picture and color than my other monitor, which is nice. It's HDMI, and it was like $130, which, you know, not bad. I mean, it was my monitor is like a $300 monitor, so because it's gaming, and they sell my exact Blue Yeti microphone up there, because I was just up there the other day. My wife and I still had like $35 worth of credit in store, and we were like, we need to spend this, because we traded in a lot of movies and games and game consoles and everything else in the past. And they, you know, mind you, Disc Replay, Mega Replay, and Disc Traders, all the same business. They exist in various locations. Basically, they exist in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, and Ohio. So if you're anywhere else, you're kind of SOL. But they have a ton of locations in Michigan, for instance. A ton in Indiana, a ton in Illinois. They're getting one in Ohio. They've got one in Iowa. It's, you know, they like I said, they have everything known to man in their digital. They have controllers. They have everything. And we bought our second water camera there. I unfortunately lost that one. We bought our Kindle Fire there. We bought my monitor there. I just bought an 8 gig iPod Nano. Mind you, I'm not an iPod fan or an Apple fan, but I needed to use the credit, and it was going to give me the most bang for my buck. So I got this iPod Nano, which was previously used on a Mac. So I had to reformat it and then reinstall it with iTunes, and then I was able to load podcasts to it, some of my music library. So it has its uses. But anyways, so really, these are the only options you have, is finding a place like this. And I know that Disc Replay isn't the only option. I know that there are other places. I mean, it's basically like the modern day Funko Land, except it's modern. It's not like a GameStop Lite. And like I said, they carry like Atari, NES, SNES, N64, Sega Master System, Genesis, Saturn, Dreamcast, PS1, 2, 3, 4, Xbox 360, and 1, Wii U, and, you know, like I said, just about everything. I think they even have Commodore 64s in mine. Like, it's pretty wild. Sometimes I go in there just to look, to be honest, and then other times it's, you know, interesting to see things. But they have posters, they have comics, they have just a lot of stuff in there. And I guess if you're going to do it legally, that's really the only way you can go about it, is finding a shop like this and purchasing from them. And it really is the only legal way to get it. I mean, emulation, I always saw it as kind of a gray area anyway, and it was more so if you own this, you can use it as a backup. You were never actually supposed to just pirate the games outright. I used to have, like, what was it? I had all the Mega Man X games. I had every Dragon Ball Z game that was pre disc-based system. It was all cartridge-based. I had all the Pokemon games. I had Streets of Rage 1, 2, 3. Ninja Turtles, Hyperstone Heist. Various other ones like that. One of these days I'll have to get out my flash drive because I converted everything over to a flash drive, and I think I still have some of that. Just to see what I have and maybe pull up like a copy of it, of or at least the old website that I used to have. I can't for the life of me remember the old URL that it was under to even bother looking it up. But yeah, it's definitely a different time, and it's unfortunate, but it's, you know, we're kind of in that era of you're just not allowed to do things like that anymore. We're not in the internet wild west. We're in the sophisticated era where we have to do things the right way every single time. And, you know, again, I get Nintendo's viewpoint, but I also get the other people on the emulation side because, again, it's just they don't give you any options. So it's either buy it from somewhere that's reputable like that, or have it, or buy it on eBay, or it just goes to the way of the internet junk pile. It just goes in the delete and the recycle bin, and it's gone, and it's just part of history that you just kind of have to remember. It's unfortunate, but it happens, and so yeah. So until next time, you can reach out to the show on the Twitters at SCP-21 or you can reach out at Altered Geek. You can comment on iTunes, which would be awesome. Give some feedback. If you'd like to give feedback or questions, comments, suggestions to the podcast, feel free to do so on feedback@alteredgeek.com. And until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.